from beginning.
Okay. All right, so let's continue. So, Yani Veda Vidam. If you look at the verse, Srila Prabhupada says, Veda Vidam means scholars of Vedas, right? But it also means, scholars of Vedas means they know. So it refers to people who know. And then, Paravara Vidaha means persons who know both the Brahman with qualities and without qualities. So it refers to Bhagavan as well as his other aspects. Okay. And then in the next verse 8, when the sages talk to Suta Goswami, they say, Bruyu Snigdasya Sishyasya. That means one who is submissive. Snigda also means soft-hearted, or actually who has affection. Snigda means affection. So that means the guru will speak the secret to disciple who has affection. Makes a lot of sense for the gurus. Unless you have affection for guru, you won't get the understanding. So it's also very tightly woven, this system. You cannot break the system the way you want it. It has to follow a certain rule, and these are some of the important criteria. That means the disciple must learn to love the guru. There's no way out of this. So this is actually the potential. So if you have affection for your gurus, then they will certainly reveal the secret. That means how they reveal, through their blessings. That's what it is. Then you will see, you understand how to serve your guru, serve the devotees like that. So that's the secret. And therefore the sages are saying to Suta Goswami, your guru must have revealed the secret to you, and you have understood all the confidential subjects. Now at the same time, we don't accept those sages who concoct ideas on their own. Okay? So that means we reject those sages who concoct from these confidential topics. And therefore, the sages in Naimasaranya reject all the other sages. They only want to hear from Suta Goswami, because he has attained the mercy of his guru, and therefore he can reveal the confidential topics correctly. And so they're saying, we're asking you to speak, because you are authorized in these subjects. Right? That's quite straightforward, right? Yeah, so we don't have to really worry about that so much. And these are some of the other qualities. Submissiveness. Submissiveness to the spiritual master. And submissiveness means the guru becomes pleased with you and then satisfied with you. Sometimes we don't want to submit because of our false ego. And the guru can test our surrender also by giving us tasks at the same time, or can chastise us to see how we react and things like that. And so the other thing is, they were all confident that Suta Goswami was a bona fide representative. So what are the qualifications of bona fide guru means? Come in disciplic succession, some more? Free? Free from vice, as from previous verse, but yeah, they don't change, reinterpret their own, because that otherwise they are rejected. They accept Krishna as Supreme Lord. Okay, they don't change from the previous acharyas.
They're loyal disciples of the spiritual master.
disciples.
Yes. Yeah. Loyal disciples. Okay.
They don't claim themselves to be God.
They don't claim the... Yes. Very important. Alright. Text 9.
Tatra tatranja sayusman bhavatha yad vinishchitam pumsam ekantata sheyas tanna samshitum arhasi.
Please therefore be blessed with many years. Explain to us in an easily understandable way what you have ascertained to be the absolute and ultimate good for the people in general. So, this... All these sages, they are more keen on what? What is their intention? Yeah, they want to do good for everyone. So that's what it is. And that's why they all assembled. So these people are good people. You can see, because they are not asking for any material. They want benefit the population of in Kali Yuga. Okay? So then we will see how this progresses further. Okay, so they say long-lived sage. They address Sutta Goswami, being blessed with many years. Okay, so therefore they are saying he's lived a long time. Right? It's interesting. And it means they feel, Ayushman, they feel that he has studied the scriptures a long time. And he has understood it in the right way. And therefore he knows the conclusion. So they want to know from him. It's a very interesting way of addressing Sutta Goswami. And so they ask him to tell completely. So, ekantataha, completely. Or in another way, from the beginning. Tell everything from the beginning. And what do they want to know? The highest goal of mankind. And they want to know it from his point of view. Therefore they say tatra tatra at the scripture. So today is this Radhana Swami's Vyasa Puja? Not today, no? Over. Because I think in Houston they're celebrating today. That's why I was asking.
Weekend.
Okay. Okay. And they want to know what's the highest goal to attain. We already know it's not Swarga or liberation. It has to be prema, which we'll find out later. We will also know why prema is the highest goal, because it brings Bhagavan under control. That's why it is the highest. So now, among all the different aspects of the Lord, the chief form is Bhagavan aspect. Okay, so that's primarily what this the main aspect of this verse is. Who Sutta Goswami is and how he can give this knowledge. Okay, so we go to text 10. Now it goes on to, they're going to talk about Kali Yuga. What is wrong with Kali Yuga? What kind of people are in Kali Yuga? That is a very famous verse. And this verse you all should know. Should know how to use this verse to, when discussion with people, you can say, this is in Shastra, therefore we have problems, we need to rectify it somehow. And in that mood, you can quote this verse. not in a challenging way. So prayanau payushu sabhya kalau asmin yuge janaha manda sumanda matayo manda bhagya hi upadrutaha. Oh, learned one, in this iron age of Kali, men almost always have but short lives. And some of these qualities are, they are quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, and above all, always disturbed. And so when we are not Krishna consciousness, we fall in this category. All of us. We cannot pretend, but we do fall in this. We quarrel with our friends, with our mind, with our own husband and wife, friends, everybody. Lazy. If you don't have to do, we don't do it. Misguided. Don't want to have good guidance. Just want to do what you want to do. Unlucky. Never get what you want. Always get the worst thing. And always disturbed. Very unhappy. Not satisfied. Always looking at the other side of the fence. The grass is greener on the other side. If, yeah, so this is the situation nowadays in Kali Yuga. So this is the situation of people in Kali Yuga. So this is, we find that. And, that's the... So they want to know from Sutta Goswami, if this is a situation, what are we supposed to do? And what are we supposed to learn, and how are we supposed to help these people? And the other thing is, in Kali Yuga, if they have long life, they become very lazy also. Generally. Yeah, they will not do many things. In their short life, then they'll cry mostly. Because they're lazy, because they don't inquire about spiritual. That's why, even if they have long life, they are lazy. They may be active doing other things, but they don't... Yes. Lazy to learn spiritual things. Yeah. Generally, that's what it is. Lazy means they don't investigate into spiritual topics. And if they are not lazy, then they are not so intelligent. They work hard, but for the wrong reasons. So that's why they say, manda, bhagya, not so fortunate. And then he has some intelligence, he is unfortunate. Why? Because he don't want to take association of devotees. Too intelligent. He knows everything. And generally, people who take up or want to take devotee association, they have some kind of problem. Some affliction. You find that, right? There's some sickness or something, and then they come to pray. Otherwise, they're not interested. Or they are so fallen and sick, they have no time to hear. So they will want to go home, sleep, like that. So that's the situation. And even if they come and hear, they are so disturbed, they cannot understand or discern what is good and what is wrong, bad for them. They cannot understand. In general, in Kali Yuga, all people have mainly bad qualities. That's, we need to find out. Understand that. Yeah. Okay. Text 11. And in the paragraphs, Purport Srila Prabhupada talks about all the different ashrams and how they are not maintained properly, not following something properly.
No, I can hear something else.
Yeah, there is.
No, there's some class going on. Right? This one is going on. That's the technology. Right? That's going on. You can't pause.
Same class actually. When you lift your hand, it is.
No, no, it's a different.
No, nothing is.
Okay.
It's recording the preview. It is previewing the recording what we have done just now. The recording can be.
Something is wrong. No, maybe on that. There's a feedback from here.
Reviewing the same thing. Yeah. So,
but here it's fine.
Yeah. So Kali Yuga mainly people have, as Prabhupada mentions, the whole atmosphere full of faithlessness. Okay. No interest in spiritual values. And they cannot do things properly and they make wrong choices. In that sense they are unlucky.
Oh, that's what I'm
yeah. Well, the word lucky means what?
Means in the previous yugas they were lucky because
gods
are not against them.
Actually the word lucky comes from the Bengali Loki.
What?
Huh?
Vegetable?
No.
Lucky is the
it's not.
Loki in the Bengali is Lao.
Lao, yeah, but Loki is in the Bengali means also Lakshmi.
No,
yeah,
lucky.
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 Yeah.
Lucky.
Right? Look.
Lucky as
lucky. So, that's where the word lucky comes from.
Lucky.
So, if you have Lakshmi, then you are fortunate. So, you are Bhagyavan.
Oh, really?
So, that's, and then the British word is lucky. Yeah. So, then you are unfortunate, that means you don't have those connections. And you make wrong choices in life. So you're not blessed. No more bhagyavan. No more fortunate. Yeah, many words you see in English is coming from all coming from Sanskrit and you know. Like Jagannath is they use as juggernaut in English language. So all the British used a lot of the words. Like the shank. Shank, the British call it conch, but then the American became conch. That is conch from shank. Huh? Yeah. Anyway, alright, like, as I was saying, all the ashrams are not maintained in Kali Yuga. They don't know exactly what to do in each ashram. And the standard of lifestyle in Kali Yuga is based on material advancement, sense enjoyment. The more I enjoy, that means I must be better off than you. So this is the standard. And therefore, compared to spiritual life, it is not considered,
not compatible.
Well, in comparison, it is considered to be unfortunate. Yeah, because you don't understand spiritual values. Yeah, so therefore it's unfortunate. And because of this misconstrued value system, it's very difficult to bring about spiritual understanding also. Right? You go and talk to people, very difficult. They just say, well, what about these material things? They always fall back on their material, because they understand their material needs better and they don't understand spirituality. So it's very hard for them to conceive of what you are talking about. And so in that sense, unfortunate also. So the good fortune is brought to them by the devotees. Remember we said Subhada. You create good fortune, auspiciousness, by giving them blessings. And so the sages here are feeling the same way. They want to help. They want them to get good fortune. Okay, so text 11. Bhurini bhuri karmani srotavyani vibhakshah atha sadatra yatsaram samudritya maishaya bruhi vadraya bhutanam yenatma suprasidati. Wow, beautiful one. There are many varieties of scriptures, and in all of them there are many described prescribed duties which can be learned only after many years of study in their various divisions. Therefore, O sage, please select the essence of all the scriptures and explain it for the good of all living beings, that by such instruction their hearts may be fully satisfied. That's very nicely put, huh? Because there's so many scriptures and there are so many conclusions. For just like even nowadays, even though we don't even those are not Vedic scriptures, they also talk about well-being of society, man, and so on. But what is the best conclusion? So they want to know that. Why? Because for the good of all living beings. Again, their heart is for the benefit of others. And they want those instructions such that their hearts may be fully satisfied. So proceed. That means completely satisfied with the instruction. So that's a very good quality in this sage, which we have to also imbibe. We have to, otherwise how are we going to help the others? So to come to this stage of trying to help, Srila Prabhupada talks about Varna and Ashram. He says, in the second paragraph, the Varna Ashram Society was considered to be the best institution for lifting the human being to the spiritual platform. That's actually the standard. Then he says, but due to Kali Yuga, it is not possible to execute the rules and regulations of these institutions. Nor is it possible for the people in general to completely sever relations with their families as the Varna Ashram Institution prescribes. This is for Vanaprastha, sannyas, and all those things. The whole atmosphere is surcharged with opposition. And considering this, one cannot see that spiritual emancipation for the common man in this age is very difficult. The reason the sages presented this matter to Sri Suta Goswami is explained in the following verses. Now we come to a reasons why they are putting these questions. So they want to know how to attain the highest goal that can be easily executed by the people in Kali Yuga. That's their main concern. They also want to know about the different practices that are worthy of hearing. That's why they say Bhurini Srotavyani. So they want to know that. And they want to hear all these practices so that they will become satisfied. And of course, the main activities that in Kali Yuga that we need to do is hearing and chanting. Of course, the other devotion, but mainly hearing and chanting. Okay, so the next goes, continue on. S- Sutta janasi badrante bhagavan satvatam patihi devakyam vasudevasya jato yasya chikishaya.
All blessings upon you, O Sutta Goswami. You know for what purpose the Personality of Godhead appeared in the womb of Devaki as the son of Vasudeva. Here Srila Prabhupada wants to mention again what Bhagavan here refers to. Because sometimes they use Bhagavan for anyone with power. Sometimes they say Bhagavan Brahma or Bhagavan Shiva. So he wants to clarify. So Bhagavan means the Almighty God who is the controller of all opulences, power, fame, beauty, knowledge and renunciation. This definition is given by who?
Parasara.
Yes, Parasara Muni. Okay. There is a particular verse also. So if you know that verse, you can quote that verse also. He is the protector of his pure devotees. Although God is equally disposed to everyone, he is especially inclined to his devotees. So, Prabhupada is making a clear distinction that the Supreme Lord is equally disposed to everyone. How is he doing that? As Paramatma in the Bhagavad Gita, that is very clearly explained, both in the 3rd chapter as well as in the 13th chapter. Yeah. Right? Upadrasamantas. Yes. So, know these things. Because all these are actually coming from Bhagavad Gita. You know, most of the purports are connected to Srila Prabhupada's verses. But he says he's especially inclined to his devotees. Where does he say that?
Ninth chapter.
Yeah. It's good enough. You know the chapters. Yeah. So he says that he's especially inclined to his devotees. Okay. Then, Satvatam is pure devotees. Sat means also the absolute truth. And persons who are servitors of the absolute truth are called sattvatas. That means they have sattvam in them. They are pure. They are situated in the mode of goodness. And the personality of Godhead who protects such pure devotees is known as the protector of the sattvatas. Badramte, or blessings upon you, indicates the sage's anxiety to know the absolute truth from the speaker. And that's very nice. Badramte. So they are saying, you know, we bless you, please tell us. It's like the Srila Prabhupada wants us to know these personalities are not just saying it, they are actually pleading. Pleading with Sutta Goswami, please tell us. We want to know this personality. What to speak of us, right? Do we have the same intensity as the sages here? Padram De. So it's very nice. Blessings upon you, but please tell us. And then, who is this personality? He is Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even though in the verse, it says, from the womb of Devaki, Srila Prabhupada says, Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, appeared to Devaki, the wife of Vasudeva. Vasudeva is a symbol of the transcendental position wherein the appearance of the Supreme Lord takes place. That's another meaning for Vasudeva. Means the transcendental mode of goodness. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so so basically they want to know from Sutta Goswami in this particular verse about the practice of what practice are they asking of hearing and chanting about who? Krishna. Okay. Master of the Yadus, Vasudevasya. So out of enthusiasm, they give him blessings. Please tell us who this person is. Okay.
And they also tell Sutta Goswami that they understand that Sutta Goswami knows the purpose of why the Lord took birth in Yadu dynasty. That's the other thing they are saying. In the womb of Devaki, wife of Vasudeva. So that's Vasudevasya again. And his appearance is for what? Krishna appears for? Huh? Yeah, that's the main reason. So he appears to broadcast his own glories. Not for the relief of burden of earth. Not really. That's the secondary thing. It's just, okay, I'll do that also. Yeah. It's a side thing. Because he doesn't have to come to kill all these kings, right? Who can do that? Maya or time itself. No? Just let a few years and they'll die. No? So there's no reason for him to take avatar to come and kill all these people. Isn't it? Otherwise it makes no sense. Why he should come to just do that? No. So that's why it's kind of interesting when you try to understand Krishna. He appears for his own purpose. His own sweet will. That's the reason. Okay. So and the acharyas say to broadcast his own wonderful qualities. Yeah. But we don't understand it. So then again he comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then we say, oh, okay. Still we don't know. So then we learn through the process of chanting. Now this, we may wonder, how do we know that he appeared to broadcast his wonderful qualities? If you go to Queen Kunti's prayers, she says that, Bhavesmin klishyamananam avidya kama karma bi shravana smaranarani karishyan iti kechana. She says, some say that you appear to engage those suffering in the material world due to the actions covered by ignorance and desire in hearing and remembering about you to attain prema. Okay, this is in 1.8.35. In Kunti's prayers. So that's why, the other reason why I want you all to memorize Kunti's prayer. If you can chant them every day, Kunti's prayer, chapter 2, and who's that? There's also in the 10th canto is Gopi Gita. Then there's another one. Gajendra's prayer, very important prayers. It'll help you relief of so many issues. Of course, if you can memorize the whole Bhagavatam, you're completely relieved. But these are some prayers that are. Particularly devotees have expressed that we should do that. Actually, it's very powerful if you all can do that. You know, I don't know, during Kartik, Vaisheshika Prabhu was asking devotees to chant a particular chapter a day. So you find that if you chant every day, then you find that you become very surcharged with the Lord's potencies and blessings actually. As you do more service in the same time, you know. It's really wonderful. Okay. Comments thus far? 113. Two reasons he gave. First one he says, Yada 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 Masya. Rani Bhavadu Bhavadu. There he says he is coming to. Yeah, but then he confirms his reason, Paritrana Sadhana. That's the main reason he's to please the devotees. That's all. He's not coming for. That's why he is coming to show his glories with the devotees. Yeah. The devotee hankers for him, so he comes for that reason. Not for setting dharma. He doesn't need to do that. He can send his representatives, anyone to do that. Yeah. While protecting the devotees, he is also performing so many leelas that
the devotees are enlivened and they feel protection from him. It's like two things are happening parallelly. Like when all the people in the Gokul, they were like, then when Kamsa sent the demons, when Krishna was enacting his pastimes, but at the same time he was protecting all the devotees.
Well, he wasn't going out of his way to do those things. It was like a side thing, you know. His main thing was to give pleasure to his devotees. Right? So when Kamsa sends all the and the side, he said, okay, I'll do this pastime, kill these guys and kick that guy or whatever. Those are like, oh, I have to do it, I'll do it like that. Yeah. Like you're walking to put a cup there, and then along the way your kid comes, you say, just wait like that. Right? So it's like on the way you say, like, wait. So Krishna's, those pastimes are like, but his main goal is to go and have relationship with his, that's his main thing. Krishna, if you look at Krishna, you don't see him in the picture of Krishna, for example. When Krishna is depicted or described, what is he doing always? Generally? Playing around. That's who Supreme Lord is. He just like a kid who plays. Yeah. All the other things, he doesn't have to do it personally. He just does it through his expansions if he wants to. Like killing all the demons are through his Vasudeva expansion, not Krishna. I mean, if you want to go too technical on that, we are not worried about those things at this time. Now we are more concerned about how, why he's appearing. His appearance to give pleasure to the devotees. Yeah, and to broadcast his glories. So the others can get attracted and then take up the process. Yeah. Text 13. Tanna shushushamananam arhasyanganuvarnitum yasyavatarabhutanam shemayacha bhavayacha. O Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and his incarnations. So they're giving some reasons. Please explain to us those teachings imparted by previous masters, acharyas. For one is uplifted both by speaking them and by hearing them. So it's very nice here again. It's now another reason why you should be talking about the glories of the Supreme Lord. Okay? It's a good reason they are giving. These are personalities who know, have studied the scriptures, and they are saying why. And they know Suta Goswami is the most qualified. So they say, you have learned this very nicely from your previous master. And so you tell us so that we will become uplifted. And then we can help others. See, the whole, what is the goal here? To help others to uplift their consciousness from Kali Yuga concept. We are so ingrained into enjoying sense gratification. So here, as Prabhupada says, the qualification or conditions for hearing the transcendental message of absolute truth are set forth herein. First condition is that the audience must be very sincere and eager to hear. Okay, here again the word hear means
hear and act.
Yeah. That means you will act on what you are going to hear, not just on nice katha. Doesn't work. That means it will not affect you. You won't get the benefit. The main thing is, what is the benefit we are going to get? It's going to purify us if you're going to act on it. So, eager to hear means eager to act on those instructions. And again, Srila Prabhupada re-emphasizes, which we touched on earlier, the speaker must be in the line of disciplic succession from the recognized acharya. Remember, there's only four bona fide sampradayas. Everything else is not accepted. People can argue, but it's not in the scripture. The transcendental message of absolute is not understandable by those who are materially absorbed. Krishna explains this also in the second chapter. Bhogaishwarya Prasaktanam. Yeah. So you can see how everything is relevant, Krishna says. Not because you want to be a shloka wala, you know. There is relevance. Bhoga and Aishwarya cannot give what? Yes, cannot give you that one-pointed buddhi, intelligence for?
Understanding.
To perform devotional service. And that particular verse, Ekaya Kuru Nandana, it's the verse that made Srila Prabhupada take up the arms, and then he decided, I have to do whatever my spiritual master wants. And so the instruction his spiritual master gave him when he first met had a great impact when he read Vishwanath Chakravarti's commentary on that, which he says, even when the whole universe collapses, everything is going, I still would not let go of my Guru Maharaj's feet instructions. So that affected Srila Prabhupada. And so he then decided, I have to do this. So that's what we are talking about. The whole Bhagavatam, change of heart so that in time of death you can accept Krishna completely. Ante Narayanam Smriti. So, Ante Krishna Smriti. No difference. Narayan Krishna. So, yeah. Okay, then Prabhupada says, these are all very important messages he writes one after another. Under the direction of a bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. Now, the term is gradually purified. Okay, it's not like instant. It's not a pill popping experiment here. Okay, it's a gradual. Why is it said gradual? Why does he say gradually? Huh? Okay, conditioning is very long. Application is not easy. Remember in the beginning, yeah. Prabhupada says, it's what is the thing he says? It's
process
is simple, but application is difficult. Yeah. So therefore, it's gradual. For some, you may have a shorter time frame to get purified. Others, longer. It's slightly longer or slightly shorter, that's all. But it's going to be a gradual process. Just like your baby, when it's born, he doesn't come out walking and chanting, and right? No, right? You know for sure, right? Vrindavan didn't do that, right? Not everyone is Sukadev Goswami. Okay? So, really, isn't it? When you read about Sukadev Goswami, it's amazing. He doesn't want to take birth. Then Krishna, he comes to the window of Vyasadeva, and then Vyasadeva says, he says he only comes when he talks to you. So then Krishna talks to him, and then he says, you must give me this benediction. What is it? That Maya does not touch me. Then he said, okay. Then immediately he takes birth. And then he's already takes full 16-year-old form, and he runs to the forest. And then that's one story. And another story is Vyasadeva is teaching him, and then he runs away or something, and he keeps running after him, which I think you'll come across. And then the forest echo again. Yeah. It's interesting. But yeah, so this is a very important point. Direction of the bona fide spiritual master, one becomes gradually purified. So, as you practice sincerely, the reciprocation is also the ye yatamam prapadyanti stam sateva bhajami aham. So you're going to get results according to how much you are willing to surrender to Krishna. And that's how it is. Some of us will take two steps and one step back, you know. So that means the progression will be slower. Some of us take one step and two step back, you know, which means we are going backwards, you know. So it's very, very imperative for us to know these small points here and there, because spiritual life is a razor's edge. Because the punishment for doing wrong is very severe. The results is at most tangible but not great. You will get the result but not so quickly. But you will get it. But the moment you make a mistake, you really get cut. So that's how it is, because we decided to enjoy the material world. Therefore, to go back, the Lord is putting tests. The test is for us to be purified, because you can't have a consciousness thinking you are better than the Lord in the spiritual world. It's incompatible. It cannot exist. Such a living entity cannot exist in that circle, because what is Krishna doing in his abode? He's enjoying. So he can't have anyone disturbing that enjoyment. You know, can't have somebody having a big long face. Get out. Isn't it? Like, let's say your Guru Maharaj Vyasa Puja, and then everybody is chanting, and you go there, big. How your Guru Maharaj feel? Right? How are you going to feel? You say, what is wrong with this guy? Get out. So Krishna also, he wants to enjoy, and he's like, oh, what's wrong with you, dude? So that's why he can't handle that. He said, go away. You know, he gets very unhappy, so he puts you in this condition, okay. Then we suffer. And how do you get the spiritual master's mercy? So Prabhupada says, therefore one must be in the chain of disciplic succession and learn the spiritual art of submissive hearing. Which verse in Bhagavad Gita? Yeah, so all these are connected. You can see, you know, it's not, he's making anything up. Nothing is made up. Everything is from previous acharya. Everything word from Krishna, he's saying. And then he qualifies the position of Suta Goswami. The conditions are fulfilled because Srila Suta Goswami is in the line of Srila Vyasadeva, and the sages of Namasharana are all sincere souls who are anxious to learn the truth. So he qualifies again. About the Namasharanya sages, what is the qualification he uses? Sincere souls, yeah. And anxious to learn, yeah. The truth again. Huh? Truthful devotees. Because these things, when you read, it has to affect your heart. And if you don't understand what he's saying, anxious, what he means by truth and sincere, if you don't have that concept properly, then you're not going to make advancement. It's not possible, because you won't change your lifestyles. Isn't it? Why would you want to change if you're not going to accept these statements? So life changing means this is where it has to affect your heart. And then Srila Prabhupada goes to the first statement by Suta Goswami, we are eager to learn about the personality of Godhead and His incarnation. So Prabhupada says, thus the transcendental topics of Lord Sri Krishna's superhuman activities, His incarnation, His birth, appearance and or disappearance, His forms, His names and so on are all easily understandable because all requirements are fulfilled. See, he's actually giving us the what? Not qualification. The secret. To get the understanding.
Krishna is inconceivable, but he is giving it a secret.
Yeah. He's inconceivable, it's very hard to know. But if he can do all this, all requirements are fulfilled. He's actually saying he's seeing Krishna in every, and he said we can see it also, provided we get the qualification, and we can become qualified, because he says, okay, you may feel I am not qualified. Okay, then Srila Prabhupada ends off saying, such discourses help all men on the path of spiritual life. That means you have, yes, that's right. We have what? opportunities are given to us to come to the same qualification.
No one is excluded.
There's no such thing as you cannot get Krishna consciousness. He doesn't say. He says if you can have the ability to listen to such discourses, you can attain to the path of spiritual realization. Okay? Text 14, right? So 13, in one sense, you have to learn to become curious, anxious, curious about Krishna. Okay. So we will be successful if we hear from such qualified people. All right. So now this verse, I think it continues according to Acharya, connected to the, I think, verses 14, 15 and 16. So because the Lord appears for the liberation and prosperity of the living beings. Okay. So text 14. Apanna samsritim gauram yannama vivasho grinam tatha sadyo vimucheta yadvi veti swayam vayam. Living beings who are entangled in the complicated meshes of birth and death can be freed immediately by even unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna, which is feared by fear personified. This is a very powerful sentence here. Unconsciously chanting the holy name of Krishna. Just like Ajamil, Namabhasa. So it's very powerful, because when we discuss, you can quote this verse to tell people how it can even help them. You don't need to know big verses, all this. It's already all in the beginning, first canto, second canto, it's all done. The whole, actually Prabhupada has written everything in the first two cantos. He has like put in his effort so much in that. And then you'll see other cantos, it's, you know, because of, I think he feared he might leave his body, then he concentrated on the Krishna book. Then he came back and did the others, you know. So that's why he finished 9th canto, and then the 10th canto is Krishna book. He's finished. But anyway, you can see here, it's very powerful statement here. So he says, even the holy name is feared by fear personified. In a sense, Srila Prabhupada says, because he's the supreme controller of everything, he is feared by all others. They are fear, but who is Krishna? He is not, what I want to say is, he is not a fearful God. Yeah, try to understand this principle. He's not a fearful God. He's not a God who instills fear in us so that we surrender to him. No. Yeah, he is actually very sweet, loving, and he wants to have that loving relationship, because that is free will. Otherwise, it is not possible to have a loving relationship. Okay? So, even though this sentence is feared by fear personified, that fear personified is death or whatever, it's talking about that. It's not talking about himself. Even though he is feared by people who don't want to follow. Okay, if you don't want to follow some rules and regulation, right, and then you see you don't do, and your guru comes immediately, you're fearful. You worry, oh, does he know or does he not know, right? So you see him as fear personified. Or in again, what Mullanam in the 10th canto, in the Mathura, when Krishna walks in, who saw him as death personified? Kamsa. And the others, and the kings, and some of them saw him as fear personified, like that. Yeah. Yeah. So, they will see him differently, it's for sure. According to how you react to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So then Srila Prabhupada continues on, there is no one in creation who is not afraid of the rage of the Almighty. Now, how do we know that everyone is afraid of this?
Fear of
death. Huh? That's one, but there's another.
Sun is running in its orbit because of fear of death.
Sun is running in fear of Krishna.
All the calamities.
Okay, another, you may be right. The other example is when Narasimha Dev avatar, right? When he takes the form, everybody gets frightened, including his wife, Lakshmi Devi. And she said, I'm not going near him. It's not possible. And who was the one who didn't see that? Devotee, Prahlad Maharaj. So that's the difference, you know. Unless you are a devotee of Krishna, you will see him in the wrong light. And you're going to see him as what other people will say, God is fearful. He's not actually. He's angry at the fact that someone is messing around with his devotees. And he exhibits that again when Ambarish Maharaj was who? Durvasa Muni. Yes. So again he sent the chakra. And even when Durvasa Muni came to Vishnu, he said, I can't do anything. You offended the dust of the lotus feet. Ask him for forgiveness and Sudarshan Chakra will withhold itself. And then Srila Prabhupada said, great asuras, Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Kamsa and others who are very powerful living in, were all killed by the personality of Godhead. And the Almighty Vasudeva has empowered his name with the powers of his personal self. So Srila Prabhupada is qualifying again. That means the name is not different from Krishna or the person himself. So everything directly related to him is identical with him. It is stated herein that the name of Krishna is feared even by fear personified. This indicates the name of Krishna is non-different from Krishna. So that's a qualifying statement. And to further confirm, he's saying, therefore the name of Krishna is as powerful as Lord Krishna himself. You see, Srila Prabhupada already said it's non-different. Why is he doing that?
Stress.
Stressing. Because Manda, Sumanda, Mata, Bhagavi. Three times. He have to hear and hear, then we know. And then he says one more time, there is no difference at all. Honestly, Srila Prabhupada does this many times for one reason only. He wants us to understand, just like the sages in Naimasharanya is feeling great worry for the Kali Yuga people. And then Srila Prabhupada continues, anyone therefore can take advantage of the holy names of Lord Sri Krishna, even in the midst of greatest dangers. The transcendental name of Krishna, even though uttered unconsciously or by force of circumstances, can help one obtain freedom from the hurdle of birth and death. Complicated meshes of birth and death. You know what a mesh is, right? So you just see, it gets all woven, stick, tangled. You cannot even understand where which string starts and where. So that's our condition. We have been taking birth so many times. We are tangled like goo, like that, you know. So we are. Our situation is very, very bad. Actually, very bad. So therefore, it's actually hopeless. You are right. We are very in a hopeless situation. So, it is through the mercy of the Acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada and so on, we are getting this benefit. And particularly here, it's very interesting how Srila Prabhupada wants to help us. Samsritim Gauram, terrifying material life. Okay, some say. Prabhupada translates it too complicated. Gauram is fearful, very terrible, you know. So, okay, text 15. Yatpada samsraya sutta munaya prasamayanaha sadhya gunanti upasprishtaha swarduniya ponusevaya. O Sutta, those great sages who have completely taken shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord can at once sanctify those who come in touch with them, whereas the waters of the Ganges can sanctify only after prolonged use. Huh? Yes, it's also quoted in the next slide. Similar. So you can see, the point here is if you get association of devotees, easily you can go back to Godhead. So people like all the Maharajas, the Gurus and all those who have dedicated their lives, who are preaching, they are people who are like Chintamani. They can give you Krishna. So if you come in touch with them, take advantage of that association. But we don't want. Rather, we want to go and do other things, karma kanda activities. We think we get purified like that. So, even the association of devotees is more glorified here than the waters of Ganges. It says after a long time in you take bath in Ganga, then you can be said to be a bit pure. But completely, you can take shelter of devotees, and you can go back to God here. Right?
In that association is you have to act based upon that. And so because we can be in the association of devotees but don't really
take advantage
of that. So you could be around.
Yeah, so you know, like you know, when your Guru Maharaj or so many nice devotees come here, they give a lot of instructions, you know, then you take association, you like that and so on. But do you act on those instructions? Again, it's the same thing. Yeah, principle is how are you going to mold your life with those instructions that are given to you, because that is actually the thing that's going to help you. Because as soon as you don't want to take the instruction, what does it mean? Yeah, this false ego means you are actually envious. You're better than them. Enviousness. Our problem is starting is enviousness. So you got to get rid of this enviousness. Then you say, oh, this is a great person coming. But then you don't want to listen to the instruction. Means what? Envy. Yeah. Means you are not truthful. Your actions are not truthful. Then how can you purify the heart? If you can act on those instructions and purify yourself, just imagine how many more people you can actually help. That's why it's important to, you know, take these principles very seriously. So Prabhupada says, pure devotees a lot are more powerful than the waters of the sacred river Ganges. Finish. That's it. So, because most people, you tell them, come and meet the sadhu, they say, no, I'm going to yatra, take bath in Ganga, you know. They say, let's go and listen to class. Remember when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was giving class, they're not interested, they all ran for aarti and he said, they're only seeing stones. Yeah. that means, you know, only the pure devotee can actually reveal to you. Otherwise, you'll only see stone. So this thing is mentioned so many times within these first few verses that our consciousness has to change. Application is very important, but it's very difficult. It is difficult because of our conditioning. And how to get rid of this conditioning? Association, regulation, application and take prasada and prayers. Yeah, and chanting, of course. Yeah. But all these factors must play the right deal. You know, that if you know you made a mistake, what do you do? Admit it, ask for forgiveness if you offend something. These things don't come into play, you are bound back again. Remember we were reading a few pages ago, people will be bound. You will be bound. You cannot run away from these things. Because if you think it's okay, and then you are committing the, which offense? Yeah, I know, it's Nama Prabha. Which one? Yes. Yes, on the strength of chanting the holy name. So it turns into a Nama Prabha. Even though you're saying, I'm not chanting at that time, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Same thing when you do seva, deity worship, and if you make a mistake and you don't correct yourself, it becomes Nama Parat. So you have to be careful. That's why it's called razor's edge.
Same thing with cooking and every service.
Any service. Any dealings. Anything that you want to connect to Krishna must be done sincerely. Otherwise you are just being offensive.
So you have 24-hour opportunity to commit
offenses. Yeah. Or you can see it the other way, 24 hours to please Krishna. Take which way you want. Like, you know, if you can do it 24 hours, then you become spontaneously attracted. Otherwise, you are spontaneously offensive. Yeah. So then in the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada, now he says specifically, it is said that any person, regardless of birth, a Shudra, woman or merchant, can take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and by so doing, can return to Godhead. So he's saying they can take shelter of a pure devotee. And then he qualifies that again. To take shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord means to take shelter of the pure devotees. And then he continues, the pure devotees whose only business is serving by honored by the names Prabhupada and Vishnupada, which indicates such devotees to be representatives of the lotus feet of the Lord. Why lotus feet?
Lotus indicates knowledge.
Lotus indicates knowledge. Interesting. No, I mean.
So they are always taking shelter of these.
Oh, they are always saying. But why the feet?
Because the dust. The lowest position.
Submissive position.
It's the lowest position, actually. The feet. Right? The whole body is held by the feet in the lowest thing. So you are willing to take the dust from that person who is so gloriously serving the Supreme Personality of God. And the same with the Lord's lotus feet also. And in fact, the pure devotees want to take shelter of the lotus feet. The Lord one time was thinking, what is so tasty in my feet? So he took the form of a baby and then put it in his feet and lay on the beetle leaf, or banyan leaf. So it's a Vadabhatra Sai. And then that's the form Markandeya Rishi, at the devastation, time of devastation, sees. And he's astonished. And then all of a sudden he is sucked in by the Lord himself. And he goes into the mouth of the Lord. Because he also said he wanted to see Maya. So then he got totally bewildered. He was so scared. And then the Lord smiled at him. It's so scary. If you, even ocean, you see waves like that. He was in devastation then. Markandeya Rishi is amazing. It's amazing. Sometimes when you think like that, you read all this, you feel despondent. No? You're like, I have no hope. Isn't it? I don't know, I feel sometimes, my God, you know, what to do. But then you know, Prabhupada says, there means there's hope. You know, that's how only hope, you know, Prabhupada's statements, you know. So then Prabhupada again qualifies it. Anyone therefore who takes shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee by accepting the pure devotee as his spiritual master can be at once purified. So it's like four times he's saying this. Such devotees, O Lord, are honored equally with the Lord because they are engaged in the most confidential service of the Lord. For they deliver out of the material world the fallen souls whom the Lord wants to return home back to Godhead. So this is like in the 18th chapter, last verse, second last verse, Krishna tells, right? To me, yes. Yeah. Such pure devotees are better known as vice lords according to revealed scriptures. The sincere disciples of pure devotee consider him equal with the Lord, but the pure devotee always considers himself to be a humble servant or the servant of the Lord. So here Prabhupada again qualifies. He doesn't just think he is a humble servant of the Lord. He thinks he is a humble servant of the servant. So you see, Prabhupada never says I am directly like with Krishna. No, he always says, he always takes this position. I am only serving my spiritual master. And then he says, this is the pure devotional path. So it's a lesson for us. You don't think you are... Not only do as you have so qualified that, oh, I am... serving, I am a devotee of Krishna. No. Who are you? I am a servant of my spiritual master. Yeah. So if you can say that happily, then you are on your way. To pure devotional service. No, it's true. But if you say it reluctantly, you know.
Servant of the spiritual master may be easy, but saying servant of the servant of the spiritual master
may be difficult. You're right. But still, you have to be able to say that. Because a lot of people say, don't want to even say, I'm servant of my spiritual master. You ask, who are you? I am so and so. First thing they should say, I'm a disciple of so and so.
Prabhupada has in his passport servant of the spiritual.
Is that right? Nice, huh? That means humility, you know. So these are some things you all have to cultivate in your own thing. Like, you know, it starts at Mangala Arati. When you get up, first thing you do is you get on the floor and before even you go to the bathroom and brush your teeth, pay obeisance to your spiritual master, then to Srila Prabhupada, then to the presiding deity, Shri Radha Nilamada. Yeah. It's important, you all have to cultivate this consciousness. First few days you may forget, but then you get into practice, you won't forget. Then you'll be afraid not to forget. It becomes like, wow, you know. And then you'll realize, I am connected through my spiritual master. He's the one who's connecting me. I have no one else. And that's why Srila Prabhupada qualifies this. Humble servant of the servant of the Lord, this is the pure devotional path. Then you are in the process of pure devotional path. Because you are not putting you in the center anymore. Okay, text 16. Kova Bhagavatas Tasya Punya Shloketya Karmanaha Shuddhikamana Srinuyat Yashakali Malapaham. Who is there desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? It's like they are saying everyone should be wanting to do that. It's interesting how they feel.
So people tend to show some interest and they don't want to devote their whole life. They think, okay, maybe I'll do it for a little while. When the commitment comes and they seem to walk away.
Yes, but this is all due to conditioned life. And when you are brought up in a certain way, thinking the goal of life is actually material existence, then it becomes difficult to accept this. And therefore, when we preach that you are not the body. And when they can accept that, then you can say you are not the body, but you are a spirit soul whose real goal in life is to serve the Supreme Lord. That connection must be made. That is what we strive to connect to people. And then you can talk about other things. You know? But most people don't understand that. First thing they hear, they come to the temple, is some bhakta, somebody tells them something and they are shocked and afraid. You know, so that shouldn't be the emphasis. Yeah? But preaching is an art also. You know? How are you going to give that message? You know, like what is so important for us to do? Practically, if the person is not willing to hear, what at least can you do for them? Okay, and what else they should at least you can lift them up to? Friendship, but try to get them to at least do some chanting. Yeah. If you can get them to do at least that chanting a little bit, it'll go a long way. But for them to accept that means then the other things play a part. Friendship and all those things. Yeah? To get them to do that, then they must accept you. If you don't have that relationship, you ask them, they'll say, "Ah, it's okay. You know? I'm okay. It's okay." Right? Like, you know, they like to stand and eat and run, right? A lot of times. You tell them, "Sit down and eat." They say, "No, it's okay. It's okay." But then it's offensive to the prasadam, you know, and you're shortening your life. So therefore, you have to teach them the right system. That's cultured means you sit and eat. It's true. So these things is based on our sadhachar, how we behave. If you are also eating and running, then how are you going to teach the culture of Krishna consciousness? Right.
Even drinking water, one should not stand.
Yeah, actually, you know. If you really want to, if you really want to do things properly, it's like when you get up, you do all those things I told you. You take bath, you come back, sit on a vyasasan, do achaman. After that, you put your tilak. zoom. It's okay. It's because what is the main thing? Sadatam Krishna Vishmatam. Yeah, na jatusir. Yeah. So that's the most. If you can do that sincerely, then all the other things will be Krishna can adjust for you. Yeah. Yeah, our hope is that we have to, and the way you please Krishna, center him, is by putting your guru in the center. But if your guru is not here, then dilemma, right? Everybody has their own guru, each one thinking this is what I'll do. Then the temple takes the authority. GBC takes it. Yeah. So that's the work for the benefit of these things. And your guru will be placed, Krishna will be placed like that. Okay, so so who is there desiring deliverance from the vice of the age, or who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories of the Lord? So it's a very interesting question, because he's saying if those people who want to get delivered, they are 100% willing to hear glories of the Lord. So they want to hear, and they are also telling about themselves. They want to hear. They want to hear the glories of them. You see that? So apart from those who want to get delivered, they also want to hear. The sages themselves want to hear. So therefore, if you take away desiring deliverance from the vices of the age of quarrel, if you just blank it out, the question is, who is there who is not willing to hear the virtuous glories? And so the sages are saying, we want to hear, please tell us. So they have come to that stage. They are very highly evolved persons. So they want to hear this glories of the Lord. So for us, remember, you can gauge where you are at. So we can also ask, how is my position? How much do I want to hear the glories of the Lord? Glories of the Lord doesn't mean only pastimes. Okay, anything that enhances devotional service is glories of the Lord. Okay. So that's also very important. Because we don't see it sometimes in that proper light. No? We only want to go when somebody gives nice katha or something. And if somebody is always saying something that you don't like to hear, then we think. But actually, if you don't like to hear, means the person is you are getting some message. That's why you are feeling uncomfortable. If you are feeling uncomfortable, means it's working. Because the material world is not a place for you to feel comfortable. You shouldn't feel comfortable here, please. Huh? Yeah, Prabhupada says, a gentleman, he goes to the bathroom, he just uses it, flushes and gets out. He doesn't stay there and live there. So that's what Prabhupada talks about living in this world. Heavy statement, you know? That's a heavy statement. We laugh at it, but it's heavy, you know? Yeah, they're big. Bigger than the room.
The restroom is so, this thing, you just want to go there, finish your business, immediately get out.
Yeah.
No. Really, there is no thought of thing, you know, staying there more.
Yeah.
You come in the US, you have a restroom facility. All the facilities.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They have TV all nowadays in the restroom. So stupid. What are you going to do next? Sleep there?
Somebody said before the restroom should be outside the home.
Yeah.
And then next it came inside the home.
Yes.
Now it came inside the home. And so people live in one room. Yeah. Bathroom, everything is there in the same place they live.
That's horrible. This is why we are Shudras. You know?
That's why you name it as restroom.
It used to be? No, it used to be outhouse.
Out
of the house.
Now it is
restroom. Now it's in-house.
Attached
bathroom. It's horrible. It's due to actually it's due to what lifestyle is, because capitalism. You make money by putting everything as compact as possible and charging high money for it. Because it used to be land, you can have big land and people were not interested. But now every corner, everything they own. So they put everything to there. Become a capitalist system. Just to suck the money out of people. No benefits. You know, everybody goes to hell. Okay, so then Prabhupada then talks about the people, you know, the leaders of the people are very much anxious to live in peace and friendship, but they have no information of the simple method of hearing the glories of the Lord. On the contrary, such leaders oppose to the propagation of the glories of the Lord. In other words, the foolish leaders want to completely deny the existence of the Lord. So he says three times about these leaders. They want peace, friendship, but they don't want to know about the Lord. Then, even if they know, they are opposed to the Lord. And then finally, they are atheistic. And that's what you find in society. Most of the leaders are simply atheistic. Even though they say they are religious, they are atheistic. Or if they say they are religious, they have so many nonsense. Right? And all comes out of the closet. Just like recently, someone wanted to do some running for presidency, and like so many women came forward to give recommendation, no? Right?
Cain.
So then finally he said, no, he needs a break from the from the campaign. So these are very great. You just imagine, no? He lied so much, and then finally he didn't know how to lie. He backs up very nicely. But then if he has become a president, just imagine what he'll do to us. These people you cannot trust. I'm telling you, don't trust in these guys. Trust in Prabhupada movement. Help people come to Krishna, and you'll see the country can change for the better.
Prabhu, what kind of karma do these people have that they come to such positions very rapidly?
They have pious, piety is there, but they also have nonsense also.
Seems to be too much nonsense, like in the case of
Cain. Yeah, they have. They have both are very strong. Yes. Otherwise, to be a president means you take 1/6 the karma of all the people and still survive. Yeah, so they have a lot of good karma also. They'll take the good and bad karma of the citizens. So that's like 300 million US citizens. So out of that, 90% are sinful. No, 10% are not as sinful. And out of that, maybe less than 1% are devotees. That's true. If you think about it, you know, it's not serious. Yeah.
Does it apply also to like somebody who works in a company?
Yes.
They take the
yes. It everywhere it applies to everybody. All of you are exchanging and taking karma. So it's not. You cannot live your life without doing that. So don't try to formulate some plan. Just chant nicely. Everyone, whether you manage or not, you are exchanging karma here and there. I say you cannot formulate any plan to not do anything. So best is to chant and do devotional service. That's the only safeguard. Yeah. Okay, we'll take a break. Probably 10 minutes break.
And then?
5:30. Stop. 5:36 is okay? Yes. So is okay with you? Huh? 5:36. 40 minutes. Not 20 minutes. Class is starting. Alright, let's go. Okay, text 17. Okay, let's chant. Tasya karmani udarani parigitani suribhi bruhina shadadananam lilaya dadatakala. His transcendental acts are magnificent and gracious, and great learners, sages like Narada, sing of them. Please, therefore, speak to us who are eager to hear about the adventures he performs in his various incarnations. So, at the same time, you notice these are all questions they are asking. Eh? So, so they want to know about the adventures of the Lord, what he does and so on. And having read the translation, then you read the purport, it's very funny because Prabhupada says, first thing he says, the personality of God is never inactive, as some less intelligent person says. It is funny for me, at least for me, I find that really funny. Because he says people think he is just sitting somewhere and doing nothing, right? There's a lot of people think God is just sitting. And then he qualifies further. His works are magnificent and magnanimous. His creations, both material and spiritual, are all wonderful and contain
all variegatedness. They are described nicely by such liberated souls as Srila Narada, Vyasa, Valmiki, Devala, Asita, Madhva, Sri Chaitanya, Ramanuja, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka, Sridhara, Vishwanath, Baladeva, Bhaktivinoda, Siddhanta Saraswati, and many other learned and self-realized souls. You know, others would say, I also, they will put their own name in. Isn't it? So Prabhupada never glorifies himself. This creation, both material and spiritual, are full of opulence, beauty and knowledge. But the spiritual realm is more magnificent due to its being full of knowledge, bliss and eternity. The material creations are manifested for some time as perverted shadows of the spiritual kingdom and can be likened to cinemas. They attract people of less intelligent caliber who are attracted by false things. Such foolish men have no information of the reality and they take it for granted that the false material manifestation is the all in all. But more intelligent men, guided by sages like Vyasa and Narada, know that the eternal kingdom of God is more delightful, larger and eternally full of bliss and knowledge. So it's interesting how Srila Prabhupada is comparing material existence with spiritual existence. Those who are not conversant with the activities of the Lord and His transcendental realm are sometimes favored by the Lord in His adventures as incarnations, wherein He displays the eternal bliss of His association in the transcendental realm. By such activities, He attracts the conditioned souls of the material world. Some of these conditioned souls are engaged in the false enjoyment of material senses and others in simply negating their real life in the spiritual world. These less intelligent persons are known as karmis or fruitive workers and jnanis or dry mental speculators. But above these two classes of men is the transcendentalist known as sattvata, or the devotee is busy neither with rampant material activity nor with material speculation. Okay, so what does that mean? He's busy serving Krishna. He's not interested in material activities. And that's explained in the next sentence. He's engaged in the positive service of the Lord and thereby he derives the highest spiritual benefit unknown to the karmis and jnanis. What is that spiritual benefit? Devotional service, huh? Bhagavan realization.
Attain bliss of
Ananda, living Ananda, Satchidananda, eternally full of bliss and knowledge. Okay. As the supreme controller of both the material and spiritual worlds, the Lord has different incarnations of unlimited categories. Incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu and Vyasa are His material qualitative incarnations. But His incarnations like Rama, Narasimha, Varaha and Vamana are His transcendental incarnations. Lord Sri Krishna is the fountainhead of all incarnations and He is therefore the cause of all causes. Okay. So, the question they want to know is about the Lord's pastimes and His various incarnations. So, Srila Prabhupada gives an understanding of the different activities in the material realm, spiritual, and then classes of men who are attracted to different aspects of His creation. Some are attracted to material, some are to spiritual. And then the Lord's reason for His avatars is to attract those who have no attraction for Him. And then finally, Srila Prabhupada ends in the last paragraph. His point is, everything is coming from Krishna. He is the fountainhead, the source. In the fountain, you have a shower head, no? So the fountain, it has a fountain head. So the source of all these incarnations is Krishna.
No doubt, these incarnations, the full incarnations are not different. But the partial incarnations are incarnations like Brahma, Rudra, Manu, Prithu, Vyasa. They are qualitative, material qualitative. That means they are Shakti Veshavatars. Okay? So,
Manu is Manvantara. Is he also Shakti Veshavatars?
Shakti Veshavatars. Yeah. Unless there is no qualified Manu, then Krishna may personally take the role.
So, for one more question, these are nicely described nicely by liberated souls and include Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu there.
Mm-hmm.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself is the Lord.
So yes, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also acts like a liberated person, devotee. Doesn't act in the capacity of Supreme Lord. Yeah. But we know he is the Supreme Lord. Okay, so. Okay, then text 18. Athakhya hi hare diman avatara katha shubaha lila vidadatha swairam ishvarasyatma mayaya. O wise Suta, please narrate to us the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Godhead's multi-incarnations. Such auspicious adventures and pastimes of the Lord, the Supreme Controller, are performed by His internal powers, Mayaya. Hmm? Atma Mayaya, His internal potency. So for the material creation, destruction, maintenance, Srila Prabhupada says, the Lord comes in many, many forms of incarnations. And then for both specific pastimes or transcendental, all these are auspicious. So if you can hear this pastime, you get a lot of benefit. And if you are there during these activities, it's more beneficial. So what is the thing is, whether you are there or you are hearing is actually non-different. We have to realize that. You know. Text 19. Vayam tu na vitripyama uttama shloka vikrame yachin vatam rasa jnanam swadu swadu pade pade. We never tire of hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Personality of Godhead, who is glorified by hymns and prayers. Those who have developed a taste for transcendental relationships with Him relish hearing of His pastimes at every moment. Okay. So, swadu swadu pade pade. That means you shouldn't get bored listening to the pastimes. And if you feel that way, then you need to do some soul searching. It's true. You have to look and ask yourself why I'm not relishing this. Actually, all the pastimes are very nice to hear. Hmm? Isn't it? You cannot say it's not pleasing at all. So that's the thing. And the more you hear, the more purified you get. So Prabhupada says that's the difference between mundane stories, fiction, history, and transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Now the reason why Srila Prabhupada is comparing that is because many times people think all the pastimes of Krishna, Ramayana, Mahabharata, all are just made up stories, mythology. So he wants to break that kind of thinking immediately. So he says there's a difference. The histories of the whole universe contain references to the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord. The Ramayana and the Mahabharata and the Puranas are histories of bygone ages recorded in connection with the pastimes of the incarnations of the Lord and therefore remain fresh even after repeated readings. Right? Have you all read the Mahabharata and Ramayana? Why not? You all should know, you know. These are pastimes. This is also part of our sampradaya You should know the pastimes of Ramayana. And, I think your Guru Maharaj did some written Ramayana and not Mahabharata. No? And then if that's not good, then Krishna Dharma also did a couple of books, both the books he did. It may not be complete, but still it's done by devotees. Then Purna Pragya Prabhu also did Mahabharata. So the books are there. Just read those books. You should know at least the past. Huh? Which one?
Ramayana.
Yes, your Guru Maharaj did that. Hmm. No, I agree. I was telling, read all these books, you know. You should know the pastimes. Many times devotees don't know the Ramayana. Hmm? It doesn't mean, just because we are worshipping Krishna, doesn't mean you shouldn't know Ramayana. No? He's an avatar also. And Lord Ram, for your information, is Purna Avatar. Huh? Means what? Complete. And so why you all don't know? The pastimes. Same with Narsingha Dev, Purna Avatars. You must know the pastime. Purna Avatar means what? He exhibits the six opulences. Like Krishna. Okay. So there are four avatars in our Gaudiya Sampradaya that we worship. That we fast up till the evening or 24 hours like that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Krishna, Krishna avatar, Ramachandra and Narasimhadev. These four avatars. Purna avatars. Of course, Lord Balaram is Purna also, but he is merciful. So he say half day is okay. So you should know this. So, you know, so and Srila Prabhupada wants us to know this. So that when people say, then you can. So read the Bhagavatam where Ramayana is, 9th canto. And the Mahabharata is from the first canto all the way. Okay. But you can read separately Ramayana and Mahabharata also. It's very good to know the pastimes. Particularly in Kali Yuga, people like to hear stories. So the Mahabharata, if you know, you can explain based on Bhagavatam, the pastimes, they will benefit. So you should know that. A lot of pastimes, right? When Yamaraj tested the Pandavas when they were very thirsty, you know. So great pastime. But if you don't know the story behind it, then you don't know how to say it. So you should know that. Yeah, all our temples have, yeah, generally. Yeah, Seattle temple has all.
Complete four times.
Yeah. Alright, so Prabhupada says it's ever fresh. Remain fresh even after repeated readings. And this is a fact. So, if you have read the Bhagavad Gita, how many times you all have read, you find that you can keep going to it and finding it to be more exciting sometimes, and amusing and revealing. Yeah. So Prabhupada says, for example, anyone may read Bhagavad Gita or the Srimad Bhagavatam repeatedly throughout his whole life and yet find in them new light of information. Mundane news is static, whereas transcendental news is dynamic. Bang, punch. Inasmuch as the spirit is dynamic and matter is static, second punch, boom. So he's saying spirit is life comes from life. He wants to get this thing straight. Matter is nothing, it's useless. Those who have developed a taste for understanding transcendental subject matter are never tired of hearing such narrations. So this is a very, it's a key sentence because he says, who have developed. That means you can develop the taste for hearing. Okay? It's not that, you know, you have it or you don't. No, you practice. Krishna says practice. Right? He tells Arjuna, by practice you can do these things. Once you learn how to appreciate the transcendental subject matter, you will never get tired of it. You will relish it actually. You will appreciate. That's very important, to appreciate this nice subject matter, the way the acharyas present to us. We appreciate why they are giving. Why do you think the acharyas are writing these things for? You know? See, they have nothing else to do. Right? If they are liberated, they can just sit in their own corner and go back, right? Why they have to write all this down?
For the benefit of others.
Yeah, it's for benefit. They are well wishes.
Also, they relish themselves.
And because they relish it also. And why they relish it, it's... Remember the verse, third verse? Nigama kalpataro galitam sukam amrita dravyam. Tasted, so sweet.
Prabhupada said, my purports are my spiritual ecstasy.
Yeah, because he feels ecstatic simply writing. And in fact, Srila Prabhupada writes the thing and he tells his disciple to read and say he's listening to it. Isn't it amazing? And then he'll say, wow. Okay, so then it's glorified, no, by hymns and prayers. Uttama shloka, topmost choicest verses. Vince means that it's not meant for ordinary thing. Not meant for tamasic kind of thing, nescience. Mundane literature is a mode of darkness or ignorance, whereas transcendental literature is quite different. Transcendental literature is above the mode of darkness and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading and realization of the transcendental subject matter. Krishna Samasurya, right? What is that verse? Maya Hariya Hadika. Yahantahan. Maya Hadika. Someone said?
Progressive reading.
Go on. Transcendental literature is in a mode of darkness and its light becomes more luminous with progressive reading. Yeah.
So
that means
it's not just you, I read Bhagavad Gita.
No, you got to keep reading. Yeah. That's why I was telling you, when Vaisheshika Prabhu told us to read chapter a day, the same chapter every day we did, right? So you read first time because you want to finish it. No? Second time you read, something hits you. No? Then after the third or fourth day, you are actually reading it. You're actually reading it. And you're like, wow, Krishna is saying all this. So then this is progressive reading. And why? Because the light becomes more luminous. It reveals to you. And because your intention by then is favorable. And so it is revealed to you. First time is just want to finish it. Then later on you realize this, something is there. You know, because Krishna is always luminous. He's attractive. So you want to find out why. What is this attractive thing that is attracting me? So then you read it carefully. Then you will get realization of the transcendental subject matter. The so-called liberated persons are never satisfied by the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi. Such artificial realization of Brahman becomes hackneyed And so, to relish real pleasure, they turn to the narrations of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Those who are not so fortunate turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy. And these are people who don't understand properly. Mayavadis and so on. Huh? Impersonalists and so on. So, and people who have accumulated so much wealth in doing pious activity, they don't know what to do, they turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy. That's all they do. They have nothing else. Their highest pleasure in the material world is satisfied already. They have their money. Now they think, I'm going to help everyone. And the only way they think help is to give donation, charity, open hospital. Bill Gates. Okay. He says Bill Gates. This means the Mayavadi philosophy is mundane, whereas the philosophy of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam is transcendental. Why is it mundane?
Because it doesn't help people. It doesn't do the real help to the people.
What is that real help?
Help to get them out of
this
material.
It is still within three modes of material nature.
Okay, what is the Mayavadi philosophy?
You think you're
bad.
Aham Brahmasmi, knowing that you are the spirit soul.
But they don't think they are spirit soul. They think I am Brahman. Yeah, that's. No, they. Okay, then the other thing is you all should know Mayavadis think the form of the Lord is material. Okay, so that is offensive. It's a wrong understanding. So therefore they cannot help. They are not fortunate.
Guruji, I have a question. So it says the so-called liberated persons are never satisfied by the repetition of the words Aham Brahmasmi. And then it says that to relish real pleasure they return to the narration of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
And then the next line says, those who are not so fortunate turn to altruism and worldly philanthropy.
Yeah.
So they're not so fortunate because they're not going to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Because the previous statement is also about.
Yeah, there are people who just chant Aham Brahmasmi because they don't have a full understanding. So they think they are liberated. So Prabhupada says the so-called liberated persons. Then they come to the understanding about maybe I should read Bhagavatam and get some realization. So they are at least a little bit more fortunate. So because ultimately it's going to purify them.
Right. No, I was confused with the sandwich and the statement on top and the one below because the one talks about Aham Brahmasmi.
Yeah, but I explained to you just now.
And in one of the quotes in Bhagavad Gita also, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that these Mayavadis, they go and merge and then they again come back because there is no activity there. They come back and they take into altruistic.
Yes.
Basically, the third one is the ones who are dissatisfied with Aham Brahmasmi and not going to Srimad Bhagavatam, so they are going altruistic.
It's a group of people, they think they are liberated, they chant Aham Brahmasmi. Of that, some they will take to Bhagavatam and then they become fortunate. Now if they are not interested in Bhagavatam, then they go into worldly philanthropy because they have nothing else to do.
Okay.
Not Parampadam.
So those who do not take the shelter of Parampada, they go to the highest level and then they fall down.
Where? Which verse?
10th canto? Yeah,
yes, exactly.
Yeah,
Arvindaksha. What is the verse?
Yeah, Anya Arvindaksha, Vimukta Moinas, Vyastabhavada Vishuddha Buddha. I just know that verse.
That's okay. That's nice. Good you know the verse. But do you know what it is? Did you get it? Yes, they said.
Arvindaksh. Well, Arvindaksh is Krishna's name.
Okay, anyway, you can search later. Text 20. Kṛtavān kila karmāni sahārāmena keshavah ati martyāni bhagavān gudhā kapata mānusah. Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, along with Balarama, played like a human being, and so masked, he performed many superhuman acts. See, then Prabhupada, Ati Matyani, superhuman, and then Kapata Manusaha, that means appeared like a human being. No? So, remember in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, right? Avijananti Mahamuddha Manushim Tanuashi. So, that means people think he is like ordinary man, he's man, or that's one thing. The other thing is there are people who think that we concoct God in a, form, a human form. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada says, the doctrines of anthropomorphism and zoomorphism are never applicable to Sri Krishna. That means they think that the man becomes God.
10 to 32.
For the first, that... 10 to 32.
Someone may say that aside from the devotees who always seek the shelter of the lotus, Lord Lotus Feet, there are those who are not devotees but have accepted different process of attaining salvation. What happens to them? In answer to this question, Lord Brahma and the other demigods said, O Lotus Eye Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated, their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regards for your lotus feet.
That's a long translation. Okay, so anyway, 10 to 32, okay, so you all look at it later. Now let's come back to this 1120. So this verse clarifies the activities of the Lord. Even though his actions are human-like, because he is in the form, he appears in the human-like form, like he lifts Govardhan Hill and all this, it still surpasses ordinary human activity. Any ordinary human cannot do those actions. And somebody says he is Krishna, tell him go and lift Govardhan. Please lift Govardhan for me. Or you show me your Vishwarup form like that. Of course, they will say you don't have the eyes to see. So why don't you give me? You can say like that. Okay, so it's impossible, those activities, and people like to confuse, thinking that ordinary human being through tapasya and so on can become God. So that's not possible. It's not possible. Therefore, the actions are, particularly is ati martyani. His actions are superhuman, beyond human. But he is hidden. The Lord is hidden. Even though he acts, so therefore the word gudha is used. Gudha, he is hidden. Because he is kapata manusaha, he is deceptive to the human beings, as particularly materialistic persons like Jarasandha. Right? Because he went to Jarasandha disguised as a brahmana, right? Why? And then he wanted him to help his devotees, so he did those activities. Even though Supreme Lord, he disguised as a brahmana with Arjuna and Bhima to go and beg him. Okay, that's one thing. The other deceptiveness is when he plays around with his own devotees, like when he plays with the flute. and he makes all the gopis, the cows, everyone go crazy. Okay, so there's the other deceptiveness. The difference is the bewilderment of demons is they, because of their material ignorance. And the bewilderment of devotees is because of their love for Krishna. Okay. Actually, the Lord doesn't cheat anybody. We get cheated ourselves. We get bewildered by the material energy, or we get attracted by the Lord's love. So that's how we get cheated. So this is how he conceals himself to give instruction. So therefore it says here, Kapata Manusaha. He appears like a human, but he's actually the Supreme Lord. Okay. Text 21. Kalimagatam Agnaya Shetresmin Vaishnave Vayam Asina Dirga Satrena Kathayam Shakshana Hare. Translation: knowing well that the age of Kali has already begun, we assemble here in this holy place to hear at great length the transcendental message of Godhead and in this way perform sacrifice. So basically they're saying they came there to do sacrifice, but they actually want to be absorbed in hearing about the glories of Krishna. Yeah. Why? Because they say Shakshana Hare. That means they having obtained the opportunity. So it could only mean that they are very happy. Even though originally was the purpose was to do 1,000-year sacrifice. But then now when Sutta Goswami is there, they are very pleased that they can now hear something which is more substantial than just the sacrifice. That's a very nice purport, that one. And so Srila Prabhupada says, this age of Kali is not at all suitable for self-realization by the methods prescribed in Satya Yuga, the Golden Age, or Treta, or Dwapara Yugas, the Silver and Copper Ages. Self-realization, the people in Satya Yuga living a lifetime of 100,000 years were able to perform prolonged meditation. And in Treta Yuga, when the duration of life was 10,000 years, self-realization was attained by performance of great sacrifice. And in Dwapara Yuga, when the duration of life was 1,000 years, self-realization was attained by worship of the Lord. But in the Kali Yuga, the maximum duration of life been 100 years only, and that combined with various difficulties, the recommended process of self-realization is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada gives us some information of life expectancy in different yoga. Up to this point he didn't mention that, and you know, if you don't have any background of life expectancy in different, you won't know. But then here he's giving that. The reason he's saying is because now it's not possible to do many of these activities because they need certain period of time, particularly meditation. You need a long time to perfect. So you see, we are not like Dhruva Maharaj, all of us. We can do it within a few days. You know. But you can read Valmiki, all these personalities, thousands and thousands of years. Vashistha Muni and all, 100,000, sometimes they do 60,000 years of Valmiki, you know. You can't imagine, no? Or even Markandeya Rishi and all these people, they can. So it's not possible for us. And on top of that, we are in Kali Yuga, we all are so unfortunate. We have short lives. So then he's comparing to give us information, and then he says the recommended process is that of hearing and chanting of the holy name, fame and pastimes of the Lord. So the sages started this process in Naima Sharanya. For who? Specifically, Srila Prabhupada says, for the devotees of the Lord. They actually were prepared themselves to hear the pastime of the Lord over a period of 1,000 years. Instead of the sacrifice. That's interesting. They, for 1,000 years, you know, now it's over, but they must have been listening for 1,000. So then Prabhupada says, the example of these sages, one should learn that regular hearing and recitation of the Bhagavatam is the only way for self-realization. So that's why Srila Prabhupada implemented the daily morning Bhagavatam class. So his package is complete. If you see, Mangala Arati, all are focused for our benefit. And you get Sadhu Sangha there, you get Srimad Bhagavatam there, you get the chanting, holy name, then you get deity worship, and you see, holy dham. The five main things that can give you pure devotional service. It's the most potent of the 64 items. So take the advantage, you know. So that's the point here. And then Srila Prabhupada says, other attempts are simply waste of time. For they do not give any tangible results. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached the system of Bhagavata Dharma, and he recommended that all those who were born in India should take the responsibility of broadcasting the messages of Lord Sri Krishna. He is quoting a verse. Right? Bharata Bhumi Hoila Para Upakara. Primarily the message of the Bhagavad Gita. And when one is well established in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita, he can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization. So are you establishing the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? Are we established? That means, are we following the teachings of Bhagavad Gita? That means you must be convinced in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. Whatever Krishna recommends in the Bhagavad Gita, that we should practice to the best of our abilities, put into practice. Then if you can do that, then you can take up the study of Srimad Bhagavatam for further enlightenment in self-realization. Again, the same thing means you must be convinced in the process. Okay? It's again comes back to each of you. Are you convinced? And do you think you want to study the Bhagavatam for further enlightenment? It's not easy, you know, because even if you want to do it, it's not easy. As someone was saying, it's really difficult. Yes, it is difficult. It is impossible. Krishna says that, right? Devi esha gunamai mama maya duratyaya. Finish. You cannot go overcome this material nature. But mam evai prapadyante maya mitam tarantite. So you got to surrender. And the surrendering process is established here in the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So how have you changed your life so that you are surrendering? Right? The more you change, the more you can change others. Got two more verses. Text 22. Tvam na sandarshito datra dustaram nistitir shatam kalim sattvaharam pumsham karnadara ivarnavam. We think that we have met your goodness by the will of providence, just so that we may accept you as captain of the ship for those who desire to cross the difficult ocean of Kali, which deteriorates all the good qualities of a human being. Severe. So they are pretty much saying he is the captain of the ship. Yeah. So for us also, we have the only way we can cross ocean of Kali is spiritual master. So the surrendering to the spiritual master is important. Because the goal of human life is meant for particularly self-reliant, but particularly to develop love for Krishna. That's the main idea. That's what our self-reliance is. Not just liberation. Self-realization can be liberation. No? It's prema pumarta mahan. Remember this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emphasized very clearly. He didn't just say liberation. He says prema pumarta mahan. So that is the goal. That is what the human life is meant for. But because of the way Kali Yuga is, everything deteriorates. We forgot, or the process is lost, forgotten the aim of life. So we lose our memory. We can't remember. Some of you can, but most of us can't. Finer sentiments. That means finer means not fine, means high class like that. Strength, bodily strength, health, everything is deteriorated. Qualities also, instead of being honest and so on, we tend to want to cheat and lie and so on. So all those qualities are diminished. So Prabhupada writes, if you want to know more about these qualities, it's in the 12th canto. You can go and refer to that. So it's very difficult because of all these things that are if you have too much clothing and if you dive into the ocean, you can swim very nicely. I mean, you can't swim very nicely. Okay? Yeah, you will sink. So he's saying all these things will not allow us to become able to perform self-realization. Then he says, in this age, people are so busy with wanting to enjoy senses. So much sense enjoyment. Right, you know that. Right? Now, from Thanksgiving time, it's big time, Right, give you discount. Please enjoy your senses. Right, they do that. What Black Friday, White Monday, what? Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
And then Christmas, this, that. So they try to give you, buy, please buy and enjoy your senses so that we may survive and be happy. But, so when you enjoy your senses, you cannot perform self-realization. It's not possible. Why? Bhogeshwara prasakta. No, not possible. It takes you away from focusing. Bahuda, bahushaka, anantascha. Yes. So your intelligence is many branch, and if you have too many things to think about, you, that's why you see people always shaking legs. And it's true, because the mind is here, there. So agitated, yeah. You see, even children, all now the children all doing like that, always shaking, shaking. Isn't it? Yeah, the mind is not focused anymore. So you feel sorry for them actually, because when you are young, most of you never did those kinds. But now they all doing because they are so agitated. Well, what I'm going to do next is I'm going to enjoy something, and then you. And some kids, they are also devotee kids. They can't focus in class. They will be like, I've seen it. I asked them, you can't focus. They said, no, I have to go. Then go, come back. And they run, come back. So it's very difficult. So they need somebody to guide them. A spiritual master, a captain, somebody they look up to. But for them to look up to, you must be good examples. So if you want to lead a group of young people and so on, what is your status first? If you want to attract them to taking up the process, what have you shown them that it is worthy of course? Right? So it's a reflection, If you look in the mirror, what do you see? you see just someone else or just another FIC, you know. Prabhupada says you can have BAMAFIC. FIC means face in a crowd, you know. So are you another FIC? You know? Face in the crowd, just one of the many people. Yeah. Are you that? Oh, so are you a devotee that they are attracted to?
FICC.
Anyway, you know. So then he cautions. He says, if you are learned, if you all of you are learned, because you have studied Bhagavad Gita, you must be cautious of this age, so that you can help others cross as well as yourself cross over the dangerous ocean of Kali. And they must follow the footsteps of sages Anaima Sharanya and accept Sri Sutta Goswami or his bona fide representative as the captain, the spiritual master. So accept somebody, take shelter from there, let them guide you. So all the gurus are one. Correct? Guru is one. Why? They only speak the same thing. They can look different, but they speak the same thing. So therefore you cannot... So therefore you cannot say one guru is better than another guru. You should not say that. That's offensive. Because all the gurus in our ISKCON are the same. They teach the same philosophy. They may look different, they may sing different, they may speak different, but the message is same. So we shouldn't take the position of saying my guru is better than your guru. Then that's the moment you say that, you are fallen. It's material, because you're doing material comparison. You should not do that. So therefore you have to be cautious, because the age influences us to think like that. Kali Yuga makes us think like that. We tend to compare. You only compare commodities. In spiritual life you don't compare. The way they compare in spiritual life is, you are better than me. So if you tell one guru, that guru is better than me, he'll say, yes, he is better than me. Right? When Gopakumar was looking, they all say, yes, he is better, he is better. Yeah. So transcendental life is different, you know. They always take the humble position. But they are all pure devotees. Okay. And another thing Srila Prabhupada says is that children of this age have been intentionally sent to slaughterhouses of so-called education. Now this is an insight Srila Prabhupada is giving us. He's saying intentionally. Now what does it mean? Srila Prabhupada can see that this government, this society is purposely educating people to live this lifestyle so that they can exploit them. Okay, so that's why he says being so he's giving his insight about this whole education system. It is all geared to destroy the common person.
Harulaswar was once saying, in this country, he was born in this country, initially women did not have so many rights, and then to exploit women and make them taxpayers, they said no, women have equal rights, voting, they should get education, so that the overall tax base increases in this country.
Yeah, it's all exploitation. Basically, you know, they don't want to protect the woman, so they want them to be exploited. To protect means they have to take so much energy to protect, no? So these guys, all unscrupulous guys, they want to exploit them and throw them in the street and what. That's what's happening, you know. All those unwanted Vanara Sankaras and all this, because of exploitation. Yeah.
In India also, in
now it's becoming first class in India.
No, I was following the news. Okay. Mm. 6 months in two states, the chief ministers introduced that Bhagavad Gita should be made. Of course, their also motivation was to get a
vote.
Vote.
That's all.
Vote. And they said that Bhagavad Gita should be made compulsory education. And so many like opposition people said, this is really out of his mind. This is a secular country.
Right.
It happened in two states, back to back.
Yeah, because you got unscrupulous men in government states elected by unscrupulous people. Because they have no proper guidance, they don't know what is right and wrong. If you want to buy votes, you go to, if you are wealthy, you can go to India, buy everyone some iPod or whatever, and they'll vote you in.
Just rice.
No, yeah, in South India.
He gave TV.
TV.
Then you have to buy the channels. He is channel, all the English channels.
No, these are poor people. He gives them a TV and then he tells them to subscribe to his channel. And then he gets their vote. How is it cheating? It's right. Anyway, the whole system is so corrupted. Every few years, the opposition party will throw him in prison, and then he will come back and he will throw them in prison. So they take turns going to prison. And the prison house is made into a nice opulent palaces for them to take rest. You know, like you play Monopoly, you go to jail, right? So you keep throwing dice until you come out. So that's what they are playing. At the expense of the general populace. They don't care. Okay? Because the whole system is to exploit and to destroy the whole thing. And this is what, why? Because they have no understanding of Atmatattva. And that's why we need to give this knowledge of Atmatattva to others. So when people understand Atmatattva, then they will not fall prey to this kind of things. They will question, why I have to do this thing.
So Prabhupada, people who get to know a little bit of Atmatattva, they will gravitate towards going back to Godhead, rather than fixing the society in general.
Not really. If you join ISKCON, you will fight. You may not be a big preacher, but still you will have that our Acharya's mood of wanting to give people, and you will fight. Yeah, exactly.
But that's still in a very limited
sense. Doesn't matter. Every small group or limited people is enough. Yeah. In the war, every small battle counts so that in the end you can win the war. You may lose one or two battles along the way, but ultimately you come back and get the war, win the war. So, don't worry, you know. You don't worry who is coming or who is going. What you should worry is how I can give this, you know, and I do my best. And don't worry whether they want to take it up or not. You feel compassion for them, you give with your heart. Then you cry to Krishna and say, help them. Right? We are not here for the results. Please don't, you know, have this understanding. We are not here for quantity or results. Because those are determined by Krishna himself, right? Niskama. Actually, we are not even doing karma. We should just niskama. Well, that's what they talk. They don't understand that verse at all. But we are doing it to please Krishna. We are not here for results. You just put the effort to please him. Say, Krishna, I'm doing my best. I'm trying my best, you know. And if it's not enough, I'll do better next time. That's all. That's it. That's the bottom line. You know, you cannot put anything around it, saying that I am putting so much 10 hours, so I expect 2 men to join in 6 months. It's not like that. It doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. If you think like that, then you have it wrong. You have to go back to basics again. Start again. He makes it very clear to Arjuna. He says, Arjuna, fight, but don't expect the results. You know, without expecting any results, just fight and give everything to me. That's what he says. Arjuna, okay, now I don't have to worry who I kill. I'm just doing it for you, Krishna, because now I understand who you are. He says that, right? Now I know who you are, your Supreme Lord, so I'll do these things. So, Krishna, Arjuna already tells us, unless we come to the point of understanding Krishna is the Supreme Lord, we will not be able to surrender and do for Krishna. Otherwise, it's always fruitive. Always we will be counting how much or how little.
What is the gain?
What is our gain? How much I gain, you know? Oh, you want me to go and do this program, so what are you going to do for me? What's in it for me? Okay, I do for you, you do for me. That means, I cover your service, Prabhu. Okay, then if I cover your service, are you going to cover mine? If you think like that, it's... Why you are laughing? But it's a fact. You cannot think like that. Service means it's glorious. to do service, oh my God, it's amazing. You should think like, my God, I am getting the opportunity. It's not comparable in mundane sense. So you cannot think like, oh, I do this. Yeah, for some circumstances, like for example, you cannot do today, but you want to do the service. You say, let me exchange with you so I can do your service. So that's acceptable because you want to do the service, but due to circumstances, you cannot. But you say, oh, you cover for me, then what I get out of it? That's wrong. No, but if you think, if Krishna makes you do more services, or if you think everybody keeps asking you, that means Krishna is asking you. That's one way of looking at it. And then, does it mean Krishna really loves you more? Possible. But can you accept Krishna's love? Yeah, so that's mercy. Are you ready for the mercy of Krishna? So then you know where you are at. You cannot mix Bhoga and Aishwarya inside. It's not possible. It cannot. It doesn't tally. Yes. So text 23. Bruhi Yogeshware Krishne Brahmanya Dharma Varmani Swam Kashtam Aduno Pete Dharma Kam Sharanam Gata. Since Sri Krishna, the Absolute Truth, the Master of all mystic powers, has departed for His own abode, please tell us to whom the religious principles have now gone for shelter. So this is the last question, sixth question. Sixth question, right? Yes. So why are you asking? You all should know which are the questions by now. So basically, dharma vartani, varmani, vartmani means protector of dharma. So therefore, it says Krishna is a protector of dharma. Or he acts like the armor for dharma. So then, he is also addressed as Yogeshwara, means he is a master of all yogas, which means he indicates he has lot of mystic power, Krishna's powers. Then, Krishne Brahmanye, that means Brahmanye means devoted to righteousness, and that means it indicates his merciful nature. Okay, then swam kastam. Swam kastam means his own act or abode, his own feelings or maryada, means excellence, righteousness and continuous condition. That abode becomes invisible to the worldly people. After his abode, yes, he has entered his abode. That abode was present during his pastime. And then he disappears from worldly after 120 years after its appearance. Which means Krishna lived for 125 years. Then he left. So at about 120 years, he disappears. Okay, so what were the six questions of the sages? First one was, what is the benefit of the ultimate good for humanity? Then the second one is, yes, then it says, remember, Krishna appears in the womb of the, that's the third one. So they want to hear about that person who's taken by Devaki. Then the fourth one is pastimes of Krishna and avatars, and then they want to know about the kathas of avatars, activities, and then the last one is where has dharma, shelter of dharma, now that Krishna has gone, where is dharma situated? Okay, so The entire Bhagavatam centers around these six questions. Okay? Along with the related matter with Parikshit Maharaj. What is the role of someone who is about to die? And that is what is connected to these six questions. He needs to hear these things. Yeah.
So the fact that these sages are asking these intelligent questions, they already know something about Krishna, otherwise they will not be able to ask.
Yeah. The sages are there because they are concerned about the future generation. They have the ability to understand that the future generation will suffer a lot. So out of compassion, they wanted to do the sacrifice. But when they saw Suta Goswami, then they became excited. And here is someone who is very qualified, who can actually liberate the whole universe. And then they ask him, tell us about this so that we will hear and relish these things for 1,000 years.
So technically Suta Goswami is also in our parampara then?
Yes. We are following the Bhagavatam, so, and our sampradaya is Brahma, and then his son is Narada. Krishna tells Brahma in the Brahma Samhita, okay, and then that knowledge is then given. And again in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna also gives two verses to Brahma in one of the third canto. And then Narada asks Brahma, Brahma explains to him, and then that four verses. And then Narada then talks to Vyasadeva. So the four verses become 18,000 verses. And then Srila Prabhupada expanded that in purports. So it's ever expanding. Okay. Yeah. I haven't fully read it. I just read a few sections of it. It's nice. Okay, the way he did it is each paragraph purport summarized, and then with Acharya's commentary, he did this.
Also grouped to the themes.
Yes, and grouped to the themes. So that's why I want you to use that as a reference. And then do your own thing, you know. It should be similar, but not exactly the same. Okay, so we'll finish chapter 1. Okay. So we'll meet tomorrow at 9:30 again. 9:30, yeah. Chapter 2.
This specifically relates to creation.